This is Sharp Money. This is Sharp Money with Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, as we welcome you in. Happy holidays. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. The dangerous duo, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, Bar Canada, the D, downtown Las Vegas, Fremont Street. We welcome you in. Hope you're having a nice week. As we round the corner, of course, you got... So it's interesting because you've got the in-season tournament next to the boys there in Vegas coming up tomorrow with the semis. Okay, we'll set that up for you as the Lakers, they advance, as do the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll discuss in just a little bit. But with that, you've got 11 games in the NBA as the regular season commences. So we'll hunt for some props and some games as far as the NBA is concerned. You got college basketball tonight. You got a marquee matchup in Marquette with Texas, your 12th ranked team, the Longhorns, at Marquette 8. Marquette coming off a loss to Wisconsin. Should be interesting. We're happy here as a family as Fulham gets on the board 1-0 against Nottingham Forest. I hope Amal Shaw got on the plus money on Fulham at home at the Cottage. The big guy, of course, all over Brighton and Albion at home against Brentford, which is exciting. John Goulet wrote in, said start with English Premier League because he's all over Chelsea today, so we will. Also, we've got Trevor Lawrence. Looks like he's going to try to give it a go this week, boys. So we were talking yesterday to our buddy Adam Burke, who is one of the 30 alive in Circa Survivor. So he's got $280,000 with his partner in a ticket. And he said, what are you going to do? And I said, well, of course you got to bet on Joe Flacco and the Browns hosting C.J. Beathard and the Jags. Well, it could be Trevor Lawrence. The drama in New York City, a.k.a. New Jersey, continues as the Jets have named a starter for the weekend, boys. And it is Zach Wilson. Exciting, odd times for the Jets as we say hello. And I introduce the boys. Amal Shaw, how are we feeling on this Wednesday, December 6th?
Feeling good, and a quick thank you shout out to Jason Robbins, Matt Kalish, and Paul Lieberman. Those are our executives over at DraftKings. They sent us a $100 Amazon gift card in the emails today, so a nice way to start the day. But you mentioned it, great matchup. I know Goulet doesn't want to hear about it, but in the Premier League coming up, Chelsea and Man United, and then, of course, Liverpool right now and Southampton. But Zach Wilson, will he have enough confidence going forward? I can't wait to see that on Sunday.
Marcus Rashford, Dustin Sweetelson, dropped from the lineup there with Manchester United, which is big for the Red Devils, as we say hi to the White Devil, and that is Dustin Sweetelson. What's cracking, OnlyFans? How are we feeling?
It's not,
you know, have you ever thought, you're kind of, you know, you're a big king. Have you ever thought about starting an OnlyFans?
Yes.
Because people get down.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. We're a very open society.
No, so I did put out over the weekend after spending way too much money on Friday night and overindulging, as, you know, I tend to do, is there a market on OnlyFans for fat, chubby, bearded men who are not particularly attractive? And I didn't get a lot of responses where people were saying yes or no, but I got a lot of other people saying, well, I'm that too, and if there is, let me know because I'm hopping in.
Okay. Is there a market for bearded, in-shape, 39-year-old basketball players in year 21 that really want to win an in-season tournament to add to the trophy case? That would be answer LeBron James. This guy's a psychopath. I don't know if you guys saw it last night, and good job by Amal Shaw, because Amal said he feels like the NBA is going to want the Lakers in Las Vegas, and if you guys saw the end of the game, the referees were definitely in with that hippie silver, because they got a phantom timeout up two when there was a turnover late. Loose ball. The Suns were about to grab it. LeBron's calling timeout. The ball is in Inglewood. The ball's not even near any player for the Lakers, and they awarded a timeout last night, boys. It was crazy. Let's get into this, because I don't know why. I've just been getting into the NBA. We've been playing a lot of props, and the in-season tournament for some reason got the juices flowing. And you've got four all-time greats, if we're being fair, last night. Anthony Davis, I use that term lightly. We'll get to his second half last night. But LeBron, and then you had Kevin Durant going crazy. And, of course, you had Devin Booker, but LeBron scores 31 points, 15 of those, another goal for Fulham as we continue to roll, boys, 15 of those 31, I believe, in the fourth quarter. So he went crazy as the game was tight. He also had 11 assists, 8 boards, and 5 steals, if you need LeBron James when he's trying. Now, I would take note as they take on New Orleans in the semis tomorrow, boys, with what you said about the refereeing, and we can discuss tomorrow. The Lakers are laying 2. This game was fascinating because if you guys notice, if you happen to see it, you know who took the big shot late? It wasn't LeBron. It wasn't Anthony Davis because he was Patrick Swayze in the second half. It was Austin Reeves. And I don't know, Mal, where you fall with Reeves, but right now he's their third go-to guy. Like, giving him that contract was necessary because he also, outside of LeBron, he's their clutch guy. It is definitely not Anthony Davis right now.
I would agree with you completely, and I'd go back to last season. If you go towards starting towards February, March, Austin Reeves has been the guy besides LeBron James that's the closer for the Lakers. You're absolutely spot on with that. Anthony Davis, a little bit of a disappearing act, but again, he hits over his average when the Lakers win, 26 coming into the game. He got 27 last night. Patrick, the one positive I have for the Lakers is they hit the offensive glass, 21 offensive rebounds. But on the flip side, if you're the Suns, 20 turnovers. But here's the question I would ask if you're the Lakers. How do you win a basketball game by 3 points when I just gave those two stats? You're plus 21 offensive rebounds. Suns only had 8. And then you have 20 turnovers forced on the other side. And you have to take what really amounts to, I was looking for Dick Pivetta or Tim Donaghy on the floor last night with that call.
When you mentioned Dick Pivetta, I thought you were talking Dustin's OnlyFans. The sorry. So it's funny you wrote that because I wrote down in my notes the Suns' future: 20 turnovers, lose by 3. That's it. That's what I wrote down. And you're as a better, you're not just looking in a vacuum. You're looking to project these teams. So I was right there with you on the mindset, Amal, as far as what I think this Suns team is going to be. What's fascinating is Beal isn't playing, as we know, Bradley Beal, who's going to be another big-time scorer for them. And when he's not playing, the third option, Grayson Allen, who's turned into a legit NBA player. So he right now is their third option, but I totally agree with you. The Lakers, who go deep, it's just kindly, it's an oddly constructed team because they're very deep. But Anthony Davis, who finishes, and this is why the box score breakdown can sometimes kill you, 27 points and 15 boards. He was a non-factor in the second half. Oh. Now, he's always going to play great D, and he had a couple of big blocks late. But he was a non-factor. He turtles. And I think coming out of this, a three-point win, I'm all dust. And I think coming out of this, I'm buoyed by the Suns' performance, and I'm skeptical about the Lakers.
Well, I made a note. The Suns play the Lakers January 11th in Los Angeles at Crypto. I think we'll see a comparable line to the 1.5 here. I can't wait to take the Suns in that particular spot. They've already lost 2 in a row to the Lakers. But you're absolutely right. In terms of Anthony Davis, this guy just does a disappearing act in the fourth quarter of games. I don't know if it's LeBron's large presence on this team, but to me, he should still be your second best option. It's Austin Reeves without question. When I look at Anthony Davis, he's an all-world talent, but sometimes he just doesn't play to that level, and that's what Dustin really surprises me about this Lakers team, that AD disappears.
So a question about Reeves, guys, because I just happened to be searching Twitter this morning, looking if Jordan Poole was going to play, and somehow from searching for Jordan Poole, I found this argument of people in the NBA Twitter world trying to say that Jordan Poole is better than Austin Reeves.
No, that's not true.
Am I insane for loving Austin Reeves?
It might have been that girl Ice Cream or whatever her name is.
Ice Spice.
Yeah, it might be a jump off that's tweeting with burner accounts because Jordan Poole, who is averaging, 17, 18 points
empty
for Washington
calories.
when he can get as many shots up as he wants. First off, he averaged over 20 for Golden State.
Yeah.
So he's gone downhill. And speaking of hills, he plays on one side of the hill. Jordan Poole has never even pretended to play defense, and that's the opposite of Austin Reeves. You're going to take Austin Reeves 1,000 times out of 1,000 over Jordan Poole.
Yeah, and then so a point to the Lakers advancing, and Amal's a bit of conspiracy here. Arash Markazi with a tweet late last night about the tickets for the matchup at T-Mobile. Now, granted, I think the early game starts at 2 o'clock local time.
It's one session.
Okay. $25 to go see Bucks versus Pacers. $100 to go see Lakers Pelicans right now.
Okay, $25 to get in the building for, I'm guessing it's T-Mobile, right?
Yeah.
Where the Golden Knights play?
Yeah.
Okay. $25 to get in for Pacers, Bucks, Giannis in the house, Lillard, so some big names. And then you mentioned Pelicans, Lakers, $100 to get in?
Yeah, I'm gonna look at, see what there's an updated one. But that was as of last
night.
Wait,
are you surprised by that, that LeBron's drawing? LeBron's second home is Vegas. He's getting an NBA franchise when he retires in Las Vegas.
No,
that's like a done deal.
I'm just saying it goes with the conspiracy of why the Lakers were always going to end up here.
You're not wrong.
The Bradley Beal-less Phoenix Suns, I got questions about that situation because they let go of all of their depth to get Bradley Beal, and he's got a bad back, and that's like the worst injury you could possibly have.
You know what? That's on the medical staff in terms of their research, and also on the front office in terms of doing their research before they acquired Bradley Beal. Because, Patrick, you're absolutely right. If you look at it from a Phoenix Suns standpoint, you lose a basketball game, you give up 21 offensive rebounds, you have 20 turnovers, and you have an opportunity without a bad call to potentially win the basketball game late, you feel pretty good. You never take anything positive that positive away from a loss like that. But the Phoenix Suns are right there. To me, I get the Lakers are very good. I look out west. I don't know where you guys are at. I think there's three teams in the West. Denver, Phoenix, and the Lakers. The Lakers have to be a contender because of the size in the front court and the way this team is playing. I think they're extremely dangerous.
They didn't even get – the Suns lose by three with a Durant miss three to tie it up late. They turned the ball over 20 times, as you mentioned, got killed on the glass, and they got a subpar, big-time subpar performance, and that's my bad, from Devin Booker, 21-6-7. To say that's a subpar performance, I mean, he's not good. He's great. And if he gives you anything more, the Suns are going to run away with this, and they couldn't stop turning the ball over. It was – again, sometimes it's like the losses are where you take more. And I walked out of that like, whoa, I think the Suns are going to be dangerous because I think the Lakers will wear down. When we come back, we'll set up their number, Lakers hosting the Pelicans tomorrow. Well, host loosely in Vegas.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, it is VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. This is Sharp Money, presented by DraftKings, as we welcome you back and a happy holidays. I'm Patrick Maher, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. We're going to bring in our buddy Mike Randall, who, this guy's a psycho. He's hanging out at Madison Square not to watch the Knicks. I think he was there to watch Temple basketball. Is that fair, Mike Randall? FTN Network, of course, Randall Rant on Twitter, a regular here with us. What's going on?
Guys, I was there last night watching Florida Atlantic against Illinois.
That's right. You're a big Florida Atlantic guy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I am. And last night they let Marcus Dumbass have 33 points, okay? And then we hung around for UConn-UNC. I will tell you this. God bless UConn and UNC fans. They pack the house. That was a Final Four atmosphere last night. UConn pulling away late.
You know, I'll tell you what, you mentioned Damask. He transfers in from Southern Illinois. The former Saluki was on fire last night. I'm not going to sit there and criticize FAU, though. Those guys weren't missing anything last night. Listen, your FAU team is going to be just fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, they look a little arrogant to me after last year. They think they can outscore everybody. Guys, 66 points to Terrence Shannon and Damask, that's tough.
A scouting trip for Randall to the Garden. Now, we should reset and explain why FAU is your team, because last year you called them way early, correct?
Yep. And this year, if you remember, guys, the team I called early, which is frustrating me now, is UNC Wilmington, who just beat Kentucky.
Correct. Hold on a second. I had a huge bet on UNC Wilmington ECU over 144 a week ago. Patrick, UNCW is the second leading three-point shooting team in the nation. They go 3-for-20 in that game. They miss 13 free throws, not to mention all the missed shots. And these idiots at the end of the game, guy, all he had to do is make one free throw. I got a clean look at a three-pointer, Mike. Brick City, USA.
I get it, but we can't have recency bias. This is a quality team, mid-major, shoots the three, pressure, good guards, underrated coach. It fits the profile. I'll see you in March, fellas.
Randall cracks me up. Who is your team? Big East, I'm sure, Tri-State. Who is your team growing up?
Growing up, I was totally in the Big East. You had the St. John's, Syracuse. I still haven't gotten over the loss of Syracuse to Indiana in that 1987 championship game. I have not gotten over that one with Derek Coleman and the whole crew. Keith Smart baseline jumper, good. But those are my teams. It was the, nothing better. So Georgetown, UNC, Georgetown, you had Syracuse, you had St. John's. It was just legendary stuff. And Villanova's upset at Georgetown, 85, got me into college basketball.
Patrick, I just want to add one more thing to the Big East. In my estimation, in the mid-'80s to the mid-'90s, the Big East tournament was better than the NCAA tournament. When you look at the teams, you mentioned UConn. We know the players that came from Georgetown. I didn't even get into the Ray Allens and all the great players there. St. John's, Walter Berry, Chris Mullen. I mean, Wennington, Syracuse. There's too many to name. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And the best part about the Garden was everybody was within a train ride, whether you're coming from D.C. or Syracuse to get to MSG. You know, Patrick, you lived in New York City for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was. And Derek Coleman, that was a big deal for us in Michigan because he was from Detroit, as you two know. Wasted talent? I'm not sure because he had a pretty good career, but Derek Coleman was about as good as anybody I'd seen back when I was a kid, man.
Oh, guys, him, Cycli, Stephen Thompson, Matt Rowe, I can go Sherman Douglas. Enough. You're bringing back memories. I had that game won. Please.
By the way, Ronnie Cycli is the all-time MVP because he married Elsa Benitez.
Quick Google search will help you out with that one. I would agree with you. Okay, well, but you know what? Why don't we just continue the momentum, and then we'll stick around and talk football and talk the NFL. So Marquette, Texas tonight. We were talking about Marquette. You know, offensively didn't get anything going at Wisconsin. Here comes Texas, who's been a little uneven on both sides of the court. Where are you? 8.5 on Marquette. You can find an 8 in the market as well.
Yeah, it's Marquette. It's a slam spot for me. They had this game circled, guys. That's why they struggled against Wisconsin. Shaka Smart, he has his team focused. This is a Texas team I do not believe in. They're only 2-5 against the spread. Still no Dylan Dessou, who was last year's March Madness hero for them. They've played Incarnate Word, Delaware State, Rice. That's a food. Enough. I do not believe them playing Marquette here. I think Marquette is going to roll. They're ready to go at home. This is not the spot for Texas. Texas has not played the caliber of opponents like Purdue, Kansas. Yes, I know Marquette cannot be great on defense sometimes. I think they're ready. First true road game, guys, for the Longhorns. Horns are down tonight. Marquette wins by double digits.
Patrick, I love that call. I just want to add one other thing. You talked about it. It's a big revenge spot. But more importantly, I love a good team that's a top five team coming off of a loss.
Yes.
Totally. And Shaka is the type of dude you want coming off a loss as well. Wake laying 3.5, hosting Rutgers here, Randall.
Yeah, we're going with Wake Forest. Rutgers is anemic on offense. They can't shoot from free throw line. They can't shoot from three. They struggled against Illinois at home. Got absolutely blitzed in that game. Wake Forest, very, very tough at home. Steve Forbes runs tremendous offense. And what I love is Efton Reed, the LSU transfer, is eligible for this game. He was just granted the waiver, giving Wake Forest even a little more support there on their bench and in their roster. So I like Wake Forest. This Rutgers team can be tough. When they had Cam Spencer, who is hitting big shots last night for UConn, last year they went up to Purdue and won in Purdue. This team doesn't have that offensive firepower. Yes, they're good on defense, but Wake is better on offense, especially at home where they're tremendous. I'll take Wake and lay the small number.
Mike, I love this play here. Patrick, I'd add one other thing. Pay attention to Wake. As long as you're continuing to get these short numbers and you look at this team with Cam Hildreth and Hunter Salas, the Gonzaga transfer, this team is going to be a force in Winston-Salem. You got a good plus price, Mike, about a week ago against the Gators at home. Now here's a shorter number. I thought this number probably should have come in closer to 4, 4.5, as you alluded to. The ineptitude of this team offensively for Rutgers, I think they'll struggle against the team, Patrick, that can really score the basketball.
Would you? You're also Memphis laying 2.5 at VCU. We were talking about this one before you came on with them all. Where are you on Memphis VCU tonight?
Yeah, I like Memphis, you know, and Memphis is a tricky team, and I'm not always on them. But this year, they just look a little different, kind of like Kentucky. They have the high pace, but they are great inside the arc, holding opponents just 43%. VCU guys still trying to find themselves under Ryan Odom, new coach. Same type of system they're trying to put in, but they don't have the right personnel. Memphis coming off of two difficult losses. First to Villanova when Villanova couldn't miss, and then Ole Miss away in a true road game that they lost by 3 back and forth. They're not losing 3 games in a row. This is not a look-ahead spot. I don't believe in VCU, who lost at home to Norfolk State. This will be a close game. VCU always plays home, the Havoc with the Rams. I get it. but this is going to be a Memphis win. They will pull away. This is a quality Memphis team. I like them a lot this year. Normally, I am not on them, but they are still angry about losing to Florida Atlantic last year in the first round of the NCAA tournament. They are on a mission. They're not losing three games in a row.
Mike, I couldn't agree with you more. We were talking about this before we came on. I think this number should have been about 4.5 in this one. Mm-hmm. I think they're so much better, and you mentioned it. Odom's team is not as good. They don't have the same talent. They can't do what they did under Rhodes the last few years. A lot of those players have defected and gone to other places. Patrick mentioned earlier, just a quick question for Mike from a future standpoint. I've got three futures bet. Kansas, Kentucky are two of the teams, and then Connecticut. Those are the three teams, I believe, that could cut down the nets. You like those, don't like them, or somebody else that stands out to you?
Yeah, I think Connecticut is going to be very strong again this year. They have a high floor, but they are not going back to the Final Four. I don't think Donovan Clingan inside is as dominant as people say he is. They're going to be real solid, and they had a nice win against North Carolina, but I think their struggles against Kansas is more apt to what they're going to do. I love Kentucky. Guys, Kentucky normally takes a while to get acclimated, under John Calipari, and they don't score well early, and you hope that they can get better late. Better late. Right now, they are shooting 41.5% from three-point range. That is normally their Achilles heel. Cal has done a nice job. The fans are crazy to criticize him. Only one title in 11 years. Yeah, a lot of people would like that one title. You have a national champion contender every year, and this year may be the best team he had since their championship squad. I like Kentucky a lot out of those three.
Okay, Mike, we've got West Virginia catching 4.5 at home. So Pittsburgh lane, well, right now it's 4. So Pittsburgh lane 4, 138.5 at West Virginia.
Yeah, this is a rivalry game here, guys. And Pittsburgh has two straight losses at home to Missouri and Clemson. I am not a Jeff Capel fan. There was a lot of hot seat for him last year coming into the season. Last year he cooled it because they played really well. I think that was a misnomer. I think that was an outlier. Here's West Virginia under Josh Eilert, who I have not liked this year, but they have impressed me. They played well against St. John's. They played well against Virginia. They could have won that game. And SMU. And what I'm watching is Jesse Edwards, the Syracuse transfer, has really played well inside. Quinn Slezinski, who also transferred over, is shooting the three well. Kobe Johnson in the backcourt. You're going to give me points at home. West Virginia, rivalry game with Pittsburgh. Against Jeff Capel, I will take it every time. I think it's a money line play. I like West Virginia a lot, and I didn't like them this year.
I love the call here. Just get ready to fire up Country Roads, baby. I mean, mm-hmm. In a rivalry game, getting 3.5 with a team like Pittsburgh, Patrick, makes zero sense to me. This number should be much shorter. The Johnnies were laying 5.5 and barely escaped Morgantown with a win by 6.
Capel, yeah, I always fade. Capel had all the guards last year, right? Was Pittsburgh still constructed the same fellas?
No,
they still have some, but not the same players. Some, but not a ton.
Okay, just getting involved. All right, so, Mike, good job. Amal just mentioned his three futures. So you mentioned Kentucky. Where are you at right now on Kansas?
I like Kansas. They get better as the year goes on. Bill Self is the best coach in college basketball, period. They're shooting well from three. Their defense inside. And how do you not like a team with DeJuan Harris, who's the most underrated point guard in the country, and, of course, Hunter Dickinson, who transferred over. KJ Adams, really explosive, was an underrated five-man last year that was out of position but played well. Now he's an explosive four. I think Kansas will be right back in the Elite Eight again, as they are every year.
I agree with him completely, obviously, because I bet them. But more importantly, to your point about Adams, first of all, his mother just died last week. He's been dealing with a lot off the floor. He'll get back into what he needs to be. Hunter Dickinson, probably the acquisition of the offseason for any team. And then Kevin McCullough. This is a guy that transferred in from Texas Tech. He is 23 years old. He can shoot the perimeter shot. He can defend. He can do it all. I tell you right now, Patrick, I would take a wager with anybody at the Fog this year. They had their toughest game against Connecticut. Over under in terms of win losses is 0.5 for me this year at the Fog, Mike.
Unpopular
opinion.
The only
one I would worry about is the end of the year, Houston.
Yep.
Unpopular opinion, Bill Self is going to end up being the greatest college basketball coach of all time. He's got 20 years to go. He's going to be the all-time winningest coach. We're back with Mike Randall next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
I was trying to think of the coach. I think it was Al Skinner, your boy. Okay, as we welcome you back, Juice Reel is a free betting intelligence app and a tool that every bettor needs. Juice Reel links your betting accounts into one app, delivers in-depth analytics of your betting history, yet there's much more. At Juice Reel, you can have access to betting history of billions of bets placed by all Juice Reel users. So this in-depth betting analytics with billions of data points enables you to tail the winning bettors and fade the losers. Juice Reel has also developed AI, artificial intelligence bot, using the data from all Juice Reel bets. Robo Jackson is picking winners at a rate of 60% through more than 100 games. Find yourself right now at Juice Reel. Okay, so here's how you spell it. It's Orange Juice and Reel, R-E-E-L. Download the free app in the App Store or Google Play Store. It's free. Juice Reel, Juice, R-E-E-L. As we welcome you back, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Our buddy Mike Randall is joining us. I think we gave him PTSD talking about Jared Dudley and his Boston College team, FTN Network. Make sure you check out FTN for all your betting and fantasy needs at Randall Rant on Twitter. Okay, we transition to the NFL. We just got done with some college hoops with Mike and Amal and the crew. I apologize, my computer froze here, but I do. Okay, so let's get to it. First off, tomorrow night, I have to ask you a question. Our buddy Adam Burke is still alive. He's one of 30 in circa millions. So
Survivor.
He has
Survivor.
An opportunity to make some game. I'm sorry, what'd you say, Dustin?
Survivor.
Oh, Survivor. He has an opportunity to make game-changing money here, Randall. Who would you take this week if you had Survivor? And we can tell you if who you pick is still alive. But, of course, tomorrow night, New England and Pittsburgh. Some people taking Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm fine with taking Pittsburgh. Najee Harris was just limited practice, so there's concern there. There's a couple other picks that I would probably go to above this. In fact, one of them would be the Colts on the road, who I'm sure he probably has left. But I'm fine with taking Pittsburgh at home. They need this game. They're the better team. New England is just a train wreck right now. We do like the over here at FTN. Our model, FTNbets.com, our model has a 12.3% edge on the over 30. It's not saying much, guys, but they should be able to get some points scored. Pittsburgh is going to lose two games at home to Arizona and New England. I don't think they are. I think Tomlin gets it done.
Well, he doesn't have Indy left, but Indy, who all of a sudden, what a job Steichen's done, right? Indy at Cincinnati. Indy's laying a point since he coming off a big win, a total of 44, Mike.
Yeah, this game I like a lot. I like Indy. We have it at a 10.8% edge minus one. And then when you look at the totals as well, we can go over this number at 43. I don't believe in the Bengals, guys. I've come on here before and told you I'm fading them. Listen, it was a nice win against Jacksonville. They circled the wagons. They got the win. I don't believe in them. Their defense is ranked 26 per DVOA here. Aaron Schatz at FTN. They're struggling. The offense is still not great. Yes, they had some nice things with Jake Browning, but I like this Colts team. Gardner Minshew, Zach Moss is fine. They're not going to be able to start Michael Pittman, who's one of the most underrated receivers in all of football. Don't trust the Bengals. I don't think they're making the playoffs. I think it was a one-game output there against Jacksonville. I will take the Colts here as a slight favorite on the road against a Bengals team that I think most are going to back because of what they saw on Monday night.
Mike, we thank you for your time. This is the Bengals house. We have the Bengals at 40-1 to win the Super Bowl. That's the reason I said that.
Yeah, we're still alive. We'll take Jake Browning magic, baby. No doubt about that. Carolina catching five and a half. Actually, you can find at New Orleans TBD on the quarterback situation there.
Yeah, how can Mike Randall come on this show and pick Carolina, who's 2-8-2 against the spread? You want to know why, guys? Because the Saints are 2-9-1. The Saints stink. They have been one of the most overrated teams in NFL all year. I don't know why people fell in love with Dennis Allen. They're talking about how great Derek Carr is. Now there's no Michael Thomas. Olave played well. I am taking the Panthers plus 5.5, and no one is going to do that. But this Panthers team, different coach, playing a little better. Second game, guys, statistically, the second time you face a team in conference, the game is lower scoring, so points are going to be at a premium. We have it here as a 6.8% edge at FTN Bets in our model. I am taking Carolina plus 5.5 at New Orleans.
Patrick, I don't think any of us would object to that. We have such disdain for Dennis Allen. The only question I would ask is twofold. Number one, who the hell loves Derek Carr besides his family? And whoever said that Dennis Allen is any good?
Yeah, Dennis
Allen. A lot of support.
Yeah, no, they did. I mean, we could argue they're the most talented roster in that division, I guess, because it's just, it's been a disaster. Let's see. Eagles, Cowboys. So this is interesting. Eagles kind of a little bit of a gauntlet than their last three. I believe it's two against the Giants and Arizona, but a real interesting stretch here after the loss, obviously, at home to San Francisco. You're going to go Eagles, Cowboys under 52.
Yeah, 15.4% edge. When we've had a double-digit edge here at FTN, you are hitting it over 70% with these totals. We are going under. Second time they have faced each other. I think Jalen Hurts is a little banged up. Elite defense in Dallas. Philadelphia seeing Dallas for the second time. I think this is always a play I like, guys. It's hitting it over 62% per Bet Labs in the last 30 years. I like teams that are going to go under in the second time they battle a divisional opponent. That's what you have here. A lot at stake. We like the under at FTN, under 52 points, 15.4% edge, which equates to a 70% win probability.
Just a quick follow-up, Patrick. Mike, regardless of whether you favor one side or another, how do you feel about Philadelphia right now? Because it's an important game for them in big picture in the NFC standings.
I haven't liked them. I haven't liked them all year. I think their defense has struggled. The idea that the Eagles defense, the no-fly zone of last year, is now ranked 24th in pass defense DVOA per Aaron Schatz. That is saying something, and that is not something that's going to be able to carry them in. That pass rush last year was ferocious. They had four players, what, with double-digit sacks? It's a shell of their former self. The running game is stalled. DeAndre Swift has not been great the last couple of games, and Jalen Hurts not looking as effective as last year. So I don't like the Eagles at all. I'm not picking them to go to the Super Bowl, and I'll probably be fading them against with the points in the playoffs.
Okay, another play here. We're going to go back to Bengals Colts, and you're going to go over 41.5.
Yeah, we're going over 41.5. I like the scoring. I do think that Jake Browning was able to move the offense, and they worked in Chase Brown nicely, so they had some versatility. But this Colts offense with Zach Moss just doesn't miss a beat as it did with Jonathan Taylor. You saw Alec Pierce get involved. He had 100 yards. Josh Downs can beat people deep. I think they're going to be able to put points up here, both teams. I think the Colts win, but I think both teams can actually score. Colts defense is okay. It's a bend but don't break defense. So the Bengals can score, but in the end, their defense falters against the great Gardner Minshew here, laying 1 point and going over.
Mike, you mentioned you like the Colts. This team is 7-5, Houston 7-5, Denver 6-6, Buffalo 6-6. Out of those teams, which couple of teams maybe do you like to get into the postseason, or you see a failure on multiple teams there?
It's Denver. I've been on Denver the whole year. I think they're going to get better. I believe in coaches, guys. I have a huge bent to coaches. Sean Payton is going to get this team better. The defense has improved over the last few weeks. That big win against Kansas City. Yes, Russ is not throwing for 300 yards, but he is putting the team in the end zone. I think Javonte Williams is healthy. Their run game is getting better. Out of those teams, I really like the Denver Broncos. I think they are a dangerous team that no one wants to play because you think their defense has been awful. That's the way it was at the first half of the year. Now they're turning teams over. They're getting sacks. They're getting pressure. The run game is going. Judy, Sutton, a lot of weapons, and Russ can still pull one out late if he needs to, as you saw against the Vikings.
Just curious, if you turned the corner at all right now as it stands, you'd have Green Bay and Minnesota both in the postseason. Love playing well, and Green Bay's laying 6.5 at DeVito and the Giants. Have you turned the corner at all on the Packers here?
Yeah, I love the Packers. I was wrong about them. They've gotten a lot better. Six is a lot because Tommy DeVito magic over here in the tri-state area, guys, is really lighting everyone up. Living at home with his parents, the laundry, the whole thing. I wouldn't wager against him, but the Packers have looked good. Jordan Love has a cadre of weapons. No Aaron Jones, but Dylan has been fine, and their defense is getting healthy. Jair Alexander is back. This Packers team is very dangerous in the playoffs. 6.5 is a lot, guys. It really is. I like them to win the game, to cover. I'm not sure, but I've come around on the Packers. I think they're very good, and they're going to be dangerous in the postseason.
Okay, Mike. Again, you can check out FTN at Randall Rant on Twitter, and Mike hosts FTN's College Basketball Betting Show, which is a must-watch as well. Tons of trends, lots of information over at FTN. Mike, great stuff, man. Appreciate you, and we'll talk to you next time. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
There he goes, Mike Randall. That guy, he cracks me up. I love it. It's funny he mentioned, because we were talking during the break, I'm sure he wouldn't care if we said this, he's got his parents in Jersey as well. And when I was living in New York, I was fascinated by how many of the kids that were from New York were Miami Dolphins fans. And I'm like, this doesn't make sense. You had two teams, the Jets and Giants, to choose from. But so many of their grandparents had moved down to Florida, And so they just adopted also, I just think they like the colors in Dan Marino, but they adopted the Dolphins because so, and he was saying, I'm trying to get my parents to go and retire down in Florida, but the parents don't want to leave the family. That's the DeVito effect. People don't realize in the tri-state, it's such a familial place, Amal. Like, everybody just kind of stays around each other there.
So true. One of my best friends in Long Island, parents have lived within like 7 miles of him and his brother their whole life.
Yeah, it was basically what I'm saying is don't date a girl from the tri-state because you got to get really close to the family. It's very dramatic. Hey, what is the thing that they do, Dustin? This thing? What does this mean even? Do you know?
I don't even know.
Okay,
it's just
we're coming back with Michael Leone established the run.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. This is Sharp Money presented by DraftKings. It would be awkward not to mention it. A tragic situation. Campus of UNLV just miles down the road from where Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, and of course, Scott Spreitzer, professional handicapper, lifelong resident of Las Vegas. There was an active shooter on campus. At UNLV, it does appear that the shooter has been eliminated. I don't know how to say that in a tactful way, but ongoing investigation. I see as early as 27 minutes ago, UNLV campus continued to shelter in place as police services continue to respond and clear buildings systematically. So I'm just doing all that we can do, pass along the information, and obviously send our best. It would be I'd be remiss not to mention a situation obviously going down at UNLV. Okay, and Scott driving in, of course, Scott Spreitzer, professional handicapper there in Vegas. His daughter up in Reno, of course, so but she has a bunch of friends as she was born and raised in Las Vegas. And she, you mentioned she was texting with friends I'm sure she went to school with that go to UNLV.
Yeah, a lot of friends that she grew up with that went here or that are going here. And fortunately, you know, we know a lot of the parents, obviously, for many years now. And fortunately, everybody she's called has called back saying, I'm good. And one of her friends, not to get into it too deeply, but happened to be in Beam Hall, which is where all this started, and texted Sarah a picture of the doors, the shattered doors from the bullets, and then sent it to me. Yeah, pretty scary situation. You know, we had a thing going on in Reno last spring, I believe it was, and there was a person threatening to shoot everybody on campus along with restaurants near the campus. And I won't get any more detail than that because it was pretty gruesome what he was threatening to do. And fortunately, the Reno police were able to catch him within 24 hours. So it's a scary situation, and you really feel it when you got a kid in college and you see this stuff going on anywhere, but especially when you know a lot of the parents and a lot of the kids that have stayed here to go to school at UNLV. And, boy, just crazy stuff, man. And I'm going to tell people
certainly
real quick.
Certainly provides perspective.
If they're listening on to the show and they're in Vegas, Charleston to Blue Diamond, now the Spaghetti Bowl, people here will be familiar with that, too. Blue Diamond on the I-15 is completely shut down. I found that out driving in today.
Yeah, Scott coming in to do his weekly spot with us, which we appreciate, dealing with traffic. And situation at UNLV certainly provides perspective during the holidays. And what we get to do, which is provide a distraction, so we'll do that here on Sharp Money. Scott, thank you for coming in. Doc Sports, DOC Sports. Scott Wins with two T's on Twitter. If you were to go to a bar and meet up with your buddies and you're a casual bettor and you're talking about the Rams-Ravens, the smart bettor in the group is going to immediately say, tough travel spot for the Rams. It's an early window game for a team going west to east. And that was almost like, you know, the 3 points to the home team. Like there's some adages that just kind of float along in the gambling parlance that have to be dispelled. You have a buddy that's been a professional bettor, Al McMorty, who's one of those guys that has a database that goes years and years back. And you two have been a good partnership for a long, long time. You came on our show years ago and said, you know, I just wanted to talk about this West to East Coast myth. Now, I don't expect you to have all the stats because I sprung it on you. But can we talk a little bit about this misnomer?
Absolutely, because it was about 12. I've known Al. Al and I have been close since like 1999. So we're talking about a quarter century that Al and I have been partnering up on a lot of betting and handicapping stuff and information. So it was probably 12 or 13 years ago. And it just got to the point where we're on the phone one night and I said, God, it's just like everybody says this. I mean, everybody is just talking about West Coast, East Coast. Life's not that easy in the world of sports betting. And so we dug into it. We went all the way back to 1980. Through at the time 2009. We did it again a couple of years ago to see where it was at that point. And as of now, a couple of years ago, it was 50-50 for the most part. However, the West Coast was actually ahead of the East Coast enough to actually profit. It wasn't 50-50. It was a little more than 52.3%, the break even on 11 to win 10. It was upwards of, let's say, 53-54% of that neighborhood that the West Coast was covering on the East Coast going back to 1980. We dug a little deeper. How does a West Coast team do if they're playing on in an Eastern time zone 2 weeks in a row? Second week, the West Coast team was upwards of 70% against the spread. And obviously, the guys behind the counter are making numbers knowing this. They're making you lay a premium if you're laying with a favorite on the East Coast. You're not getting your value that you deserved, at least back then, with that West Coast. And the West Coast teams are winning. So, I did this on your show. I think Dustin was producing that show back then, your old show. And 10 years ago, we talked about it. And I still see this to this day on networks. West Coast team on the East Coast, it's not good for the biorhythms, it's not good for this, that, and the other. I'm like, well, it's damn good for covering the spread. You know? And so I've told like a million people, and there's still a few out there that'll, even though we tell them, will repeat it anyway. I had one guy, I'm not going to say his name, because he hasn't done much to be like on networks or anything like that for a few years now, but most people would recognize his name. And I said to him 7-8 years ago, he was talking about that. We were doing a show together, and I said, I go, West Coast on East Coast doesn't work. And I had the figures with me at all times back then so I could show everybody. So I'm showing him, and he goes, well, it sounds good, though. Okay.
It does.
It sounds good. So I'm just going to keep saying it, Boy, I'd love to fly to the moon, but, I'm not going to say I've been there three times. It's like, so I'm seeing that. I'm just shaking my head. And then, a couple of network shows came out, and I was good friends with a couple of guys on these network shows, and they would repeat it, not themselves, but maybe others on the dais. And I would send them a text every time and going, guys, here's the record. And they would repeat it the next day. Just totally blow off, which is so irresponsible to those out there watching these shows and listening to those shows. If you don't know it and you haven't gone back to look, okay, 1.5 million people have done that. But if you know about it and you're still repeating it because you can't figure out something more to say to back your bet, you're doing a disservice to anybody out there who's playing, whether it's a dollar parlay or 15 dimes. It just doesn't matter. It's just a disservice. So I'm glad you brought it up because we haven't talked about it on air for a long time, and I haven't heard it out there on social media or on networks nearly as much as I used to a few years ago. So maybe the word's getting out there a little bit.
I just want to add one thing to it. First of all, I love the point you brought up. So many times you get so many fallacies in the sports betting space. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. For me, the one is in college basketball, Scott. Someone will go, so-and-so is going to empty their bench. I'm like, do you actually watch these games? Let me tell you something. The rat at Durham, Mike Krzyzewski, never played scrubs until there was like 2 minutes to go. You don't see the 11th and 12th guy with 9 minutes logged for a game. It's for a season. Yep. I mean, these teams, if they're going to cover 28 or 30 points, they're going to do it. It's not because the guy who you've never heard of, the walk-on, is playing. He gets about a minute and a half. It's such a misnomer. It drives me nuts when I hear that in college basketball. Well, they're going to play their scrubs. Really?
Unreal. Ranked home teams against favored against ranked teams is one of the biggest fallacies out there.
Yeah.
And at one time, that did hit. That was a winner. But it's been many, many years since that was a consistent winner season after season. It's basically 50-50. It's a not, as Bill Walton would say, and I won't try to do his voice, it is a non-factor. And so you got to watch out for those because, if you're a guy working 40, 50 hours a week, and you want to make some money on the weekend or on your days off, supplementing your income or having fun, and you hear these things and you see them on so-called respectable sites, and then you're like, okay, this has to be true, and then you get caught up in it. So I always just tell people, if something sounds too good to be true in sports betting, it is too good to be true.
I just want to repeat, so just to circle back, a common sports betting trope is to discuss, and you even brought up the term, which is so often used, the biorhythm, the body clock, and it's always starts there. Like the Rams, they got to catch, they're catching seven at the Ravens, but remember, it's not only West to East Coast, it's an early game. It's the early window, so they'll continue to talk about the sleep. Let me just be very clear. You heard it from Scott Spritzer here on Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. That is a complete misnomer. They've gone through 35 years of data. Understand that if you hear that from a buddy or anybody that's promoting themselves as sports betting analysts, that is simply not true based on the numbers.
Let me follow that up real quick, because there's somebody that you and I, all of us here know, that has said in the past when I brought it up, well, what if it's a 10 a.m. game Pacific time? What if it's a 1 p.m. game? What if it's a Sunday night game? What if it's a Monday night game? What if it's a third? Doesn't matter. It's all grouped together. And so they keep looking for this to be something, and it's just not anything.
They really want it to be. They really want, because it sounds like you said, the guy that said it, he said it sounds good. It does sound good.
Sounds great.
It sounds common sense, and then it makes you sound smart when you say biorhythm, body clock. It does sound good. It's just not true.
And we got to remember, these guys playing these, you know, professional sports athletes, these are all-stars, college all-stars. They're built differently than us. They think differently than us. They're superhuman. You know, so me getting out of bed at 8 a.m. because I didn't go to bed till 4 a.m. is a little bit tougher for me to deal in the whole relative scheme of things than, you know, Brock Purdy or Jalen Hurts getting out of bed at 8 a.m. and only got 4 hours of sleep.
I was getting ready to say, don't you guys remember when you're between 21 and 30? You could roll off the rack and no problem, and you're going to be fine. I mean, who's saying this? Somebody who's 75?
Can I take it even a step further? And I know this is going to be sound weird to you guys, but Bill Davidson owned the Pistons. And you remember the bad boy Pistons 89-90 when they went back to back?
Sure.
He bought the team a plane called Round Ball One. That was the first team in sports to charter. After Bill Davidson bought the Pistons a plane, their own plane, and started chartering the team, everybody else across the four majors started doing it.
Yep.
And since then, travel has become much easier. It's like traveling in your bedroom on these chartered planes, guys. So to your guys' point, like, not only are you young, like you said, them all, but they're traveling in luxury.
By the way, Patrick, quick update from Birmingham, England, which means that's where Villa Park is. And Villa knocks off Man City 1-0.
I mean, it's incredible. Scott knows EPL. Scott, for Pep to go there at Aston Villa, trying to keep up with, of course, Arsenal. Liverpool's up there near the top of the table as well, and catching L, that's a tough loss.
That is a very tough loss. And, well, I'm telling you right now that I'm not as big into the EPL as I once was, but we still recognize the rough losses, and that's certainly one of them.
I thought Patrick,
your Red Devils are in the mix. That's all I can tell you.
As long as Liverpool's in the top four on the table, this is a happy guy.
That's right.
Patrick made a great point yesterday. That late goal yesterday by Arsenal could be the difference in who wins the Premier League.
Well, especially now with the loss where they miss out. They don't even get a point with a draw. So I mentioned Red Devils. No, the Reds. That's Liverpool.
I was going to let it
Scott Spritzer.
You cannot let that one go.
Man U is not his team. I want to make that clear. It's Liverpool.
Show I'm doing,
we're
by
back
the way.
With Scott Spritzer next.